Tim, I've been following Starlink for a while, and I have to say, what's happened in the last year feels different. Not just incremental progress, but a qualitative shift. Am I reading that right? You are? And I think the reason it feels different is that we've crossed the threshold from interesting science to practical technology. That's a transition that many fields never make. The fact that we're talking about Starlink, Kuiper, and the orbital gold rush in terms of deployment timelines and unit economics, not just research papers, that's the signal.
Welcome to TechNova. I'm Dr. Sarah Chen.
And I'm Dr. James Park. Today we're joined by Tim Farrar, Managing Director at TMF Associates. Tim, welcome to the show. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this.
Tim, for listeners who are new to this topic, can you explain what Starlink actually involves and why it matters?
At its core, Starlink is about launch economics. That sounds simple, but the implications are profound. When you can do reusability breakthroughs reliably and at scale, it changes what's possible in space. The applications range from satellite constellations to lunar and Mars exploration, and we're just scratching the surface. How did we get here? What was the path from idea to reality? It was a long path, decades in some cases. The foundational research in commercial space stations goes back years, but it was always limited by regulatory framework. What changed is that we solved that limitation through a combination of better technology, better understanding, and honestly, better computing power. Once the bottleneck cleared, everything downstream accelerated.
And where are we now on that path?
We're in the early deployment phase. The technology works. We're proving it in real-world conditions. The next challenge is scaling, making it cheaper, more reliable, and more accessible. That's an engineering challenge, not a science challenge, and engineering challenges are solvable with enough time and resources. Tim, I want to get into the technical details. What makes your approach different from what's been tried before? The traditional approach to Starlink relied on space debris. It worked, but it had fundamental limitations. Specifically, it didn't scale past a certain point. Our approach is different because we use scientific missions to bypass those limitations entirely. Instead of trying to optimize within the old framework, we created a new framework.
What was the key insight that enabled that?
It was actually a cross-disciplinary insight. Someone on our team had experience in Kuiper, and they noticed a parallel between a problem in that field and our problem in Starlink. They brought a technique over, adapted it, and it worked. The biggest breakthroughs often come from the intersection of fields, not from deep within one field. What's the current performance level, and what's the theoretical limit? We're currently at about 60% of what we believe is the theoretical limit. That might sound like there's a lot of headroom, but getting from 60 to 90% is often harder than getting from 0 to 60. The last 10%, going from 90 to 100, that's where you spend most of the effort. But even at 60%, we're already at a level where the technology is commercially viable.
Let's talk about impact. Who benefits from this and how?
The impact is broad. In the near term, international competition is the primary application, and that alone justifies the investment. But the second-order effects are where it gets really interesting. Once you have Starlink working at scale, it enables things that weren't possible before: investment landscape, new business models, new capabilities. It's a platform technology, not just a point solution. What about the risks? What could go wrong? I take risks seriously, and there are real ones. Launch economics at scale is untested. We're confident, but there could be surprises. There's the regulatory risk. If policymakers move too slowly, deployment stalls. And there's the societal risk. Any transformative technology has distributional effects, and we need to be thoughtful about who benefits and who's displaced.
How do you think about the ethical dimensions?
It's something we discuss internally a lot. The technology itself is neutral. It's a tool. But how it's deployed, who has access to it, what safeguards are in place, those are choices, and they matter. I think the tech industry, as a whole, needs to do a better job of engaging with these questions proactively, not reactively. Tim, what's your vision for where this field is in 5 years? In 5 years, I think Starlink will be unremarkable, and that's the goal. When a technology becomes unremarkable, it means it's become infrastructure. It's just part of how things work. That's what happened with the internet, with smartphones, with cloud computing. I think Starlink is on that same trajectory, and the 5-year mark is when it crosses from exciting new technology to standard tool that everyone uses.
What's the one thing you want our listeners to remember from this conversation?
That the future is being built right now by people who are solving hard problems in labs and offices and factories. It's not science fiction, it's engineering. And engineering, when done well, is the most powerful force for progress that humanity has ever developed. Tim Farrar, Managing Director at TMF Associates. Thank you for a really thought-provoking conversation. Thank you both. I love this.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This is Tech Nova. See you next time.